signs. Signs are an important part of our world. In fact, almost anywhere we look, we find signs. We can find signs in this structure. We can find signs outside the structure. And as I was thinking about signs, my mind went back to 1970. Didn't realize it had been quite that long, but back in 1970, there was a song which actually talked about signs. You may remember it. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? From the Five Man Electrical Band. Again, 1970 was the year. If you were to read through the Bible, you might miss it. But if you were to read through the Bible in some certain translations, you would actually find in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, verse 21, there are some Bible versions which actually use the word road signs. I did not know that until a few days ago, but I happened to come across that, and other translations might use the word waymark or some similar terminology, but a few Bible versions actually talk about road signs. The context of Jeremiah 31, verse 21 is this. God told his people that they were going to head off to Babylon. And as his people headed off to Babylon, God said, you're going to come back. But as you're headed to Babylon, they were going to be there for 70 years. God said to his people, you need to mark the way. You need to put up some signs. You need to put up some waymarks. And those waymarks, those road signs, if you will, God said in 70 years, those are going to be the things that guide you back home. They're going to be the items that direct you back to where you need to be. So it's interesting to me that even the God that we serve has talked about signs, road signs. Now, if you've been here on recent Sunday nights, we've been talking about the subject of holiness. I said that we wanted to explore that for a period of time. I've used at least once in some Sunday evening studies Isaiah 35 and verse 8. That is the passage, a messianic text where Isaiah spoke about the highway of holiness. And that, of course, is a reference to the New Testament era. If the Jews had signs which were going to help them eventually come back to the area of Babylon, and there is a highway of holiness for us, Isaiah 35 and verse 8. When we start thinking about highways, signs come to my mind. So this evening we want to talk about signs. We want to think about signs as they relate to the Christian life. We know that in the first century God gave supernatural, he gave miraculous signs, and those were signs which were designed to point people in a certain direction. Primarily, they were signs which were designed to point people to Christ, the gospel, the fact that Jesus really was man's only hope. They also confirmed the truthfulness of the New Testament. Then there were also a few signs, tongue speaking and prophecy and so forth, a few signs that were designed to instruct people how to travel the holy highway. God's holy highway is so important that there is a manual associated with it. And that manual is the book that we know as the New Testament. When we start thinking about that sign, that part of God's manual, we think of verses like 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul, probably towards the end of his life, was talking to a younger man, and he told that younger man, he said, I want you to preach. Timothy, I not only want you to preach, but he said, I want you to preach the word. And Timothy, as you preach that word, there are some other things that you need to know. I want you to preach the word in season and out of season. Stated another way, I want you to teach that word when people want to hear it. Paul believed that there would be times when people would want to hear the gospel. And then he said, I also want you to preach that word when it's out of season, when people don't want to hear it. Paul, as he continues through 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said a time is going to come when God's manual is not going to be of much interest to people. He said there are going to be people who have itching ears. They're going to want something else. They're going to desire a different manual. And yet Paul said even though that's going to come, even though that would be popular to offer them a different manual, he said preach the word. Be instant, be urgent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. He said people need to know what's in God's manual and they need to be encouraged to follow it. When traveling, if you are someone who travels outside this area from time to time or maybe even in this area, you know the importance of following the signs. Unless the signs are designed to somehow misdirect us, and that can happen, I suppose. But generally, signs are designed to direct us. They're designed to lead us to a certain destination. And as we go down the interstate, or as we go down the highway, or maybe it's a road that is not quite as popular as those, we're going to find that we get to the right destination by accepting the signs. A similar thing is true of the Bible. God has given us his word, he's given us his manual, and if we want to get to the right destination, that of course is heaven, we need to follow the signs. You may remember that Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, that's the context of the Lord's temptation with the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, But man shall live by what? Every word from the mouth of God. That word that God has given is like a sign. It's designed to point us in the right direction. Now, sometimes people say, well, in the secular realm, I know what the sign says. And I know this area perhaps fairly well. And I know a shortcut. Ever hear that? I have a few times, but the shortcuts have not always turned out very well. As I was thinking about this part of the lesson, I was reminded of several years ago. My dad was with some other men. They were headed to another state, and they were going on a fishing trip. Dad was driving his van, long passenger vehicle. He was towing a boat that didn't belong to him. It was a fairly large boat, and they needed to go through the area of Chicago. There was a fella in that group who said, oh, I know a shortcut through Chicago. I am very familiar with the city, and if you just listen to me, we can cut all kinds of time off the trip. Well, Dad's instincts were pretty good, and Dad didn't think the guy was right. But this fellow was rather insistent, and Dad finally acquiesced. He agreed. Again, imagine a man in a van with other fellows towing a full-size boat. Well, they got down to a certain section in Chicago that, let's just say, it was not really designed for vans, let alone vans with a large boat. And they got stuck, big time. Had it not been for a compassionate police officer that they were able to make contact with, who knows what would have happened. But thankfully, there was someone who led them out of that very bad situation. They did not follow the signs, and it was bad news. They had to get back on course. Rejecting God's signs means that we're going to head in a direction and go to a place which is very undesirable. We may remember what Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejects me and receives not my sayings, my signs, that information in the manual, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the Lord said, the same shall judge him in the last day. God's manual, his word, the signs that we have, spiritually speaking, are not only important as far as directing us in life, but they will one day judge us. Now someone says, okay, I'm willing to do that. It makes sense to me that God has given us his word, that we are on that holy highway, Isaiah 35 and verse 8, and we've got to follow those directions. But as I live my life, as I try to follow Christ, there are some people who are not willing to come with me. They're headed in a different direction. That's sad. That's unfortunate, but it's not new. We may, as we think about the Christian life, we're headed in the right way, but maybe we have a spouse who's headed in the opposite way. Or maybe it is within our family we have a brother, or we have a sister, we have an aunt, we have an uncle, we have a cousin. We can go through the family tree and we can find individuals that we love, people who are precious to us, and they're headed in the opposite direction. It can be difficult to be headed in the right way and know that there are others who are close to us, others that we deem most precious to us, and they're headed in the opposite direction. That's not a new problem. We know that's not a new problem because of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Peter talked in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 to wives, women, who were married. And he says you're not only married, but he says you are married to a man who is not a Christian. Now maybe some of those men who were not Christians were overall good men. But still, they were not headed in the same direction spiritually. Then in another book, the 1 Corinthian letter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul once again talks to people who were married to individuals who were not Christians. It is not sinful for a Christian to be married to a non-Christian. There are some who try to affirm that, some who try to teach that, but you can't find that in the Bible. You can find, though, that for the Christian who decides to marry up with a non-Christian, there are going to be some challenges in that relationship, and that is almost a given in every set of circumstances. When someone is married to a non-Christian, or even if that non-Christian is close to you in your family, don't fail to follow God's manual. Someone else may be heading on a much different highway, but stick with God's book. Never change highways. Don't forsake the holy highway. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. For the sake of a mate, for the sake of a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, best friend, whoever it might be. The way to bring people to the highway of holiness is not by compromise. It's never been that way, and it will never be that way. The Christian life, as we think about what that means, it is a changed life. We are on a brand new road. And when we say brand new, it's not that it's just been like a road that's been resurfaced. But when we talk about brand new, we're also affirming that there is a change of direction. When we think about where most of the world are headed, it is the path of sin. It's the path to that eternal place of destruction. When we become a Christian, as we've said many times, part of that process is repentance. Part of that process is making that turn. We're on the wrong road. We're headed down the wrong direction. Repentance means that we do a 180, and now we're heading back the right way. In life, most here who have been driving for any length of time have probably been on the wrong road. Maybe the GPS gave us the wrong directions, or maybe we thought it was this way and it turned out to be that way. Maybe it was like the van story that I gave a few minutes ago. But at some point, we understood that we took the wrong turn. And once we realized that we were headed in the wrong direction, we made that wise and right decision. We thought if we're headed down this way, if we're headed north, the right direction is south. So we have to do a U-turn and we have to start going in the correct direction. Now imagine, in the secular realm, where someone, they finally get their GPS corrected or they figure it out, they know that they are headed north, they need to head south. And they make that decision, they make that correction, they start heading south, and they think, well, hey, north was a nice way, and even though our direction requires us to go south, we're going to again go north. Can you imagine anybody making that kind of decision? That makes no sense whatsoever. You would think, take away the driver's license. But that's exactly sometimes what you find when it comes to the spiritual realm. A person finally gets things figured out, begins heading in the right direction, and then they decide, we want to go back and head in the direction that we once were heading. Why? How? You would not use that logic. You would not use that reasoning in the secular realm. How would you possibly think that that's right when it comes to the spiritual realm? It makes no sense whatsoever. Somebody says, okay, I understand all those things when it comes to the highway of holiness, so I'm going to get on that road. And once I get on that road, I, as a Christian, God is going to be my helper. I think that things are going to go pretty well. Smooth sailing. Well, that's not always the case when we become a Christian. We, as we think about our area and certainly other areas of the country, we find that there are sometimes rough roads. And not just a little roughness, a lot of roughness. Perhaps that roughness is due to construction. You find that the road is uneven. You find that it may be difficult to navigate because of some of the barriers that are put up. Or you might find that you are on a rough road, it's bumpy, and the tires make funny sounds. Or, especially in our area, maybe you go over some country roads, gone through the winter, and you now have some potholes that you have to dodge. And maybe you actually smack a few of those. Rough roads are a hazard for every driver. When we apply that to the spiritual realm, what do we find? Acts 14:22. And that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. We must, the text says. It is required for us to go through many tribulations to enter into the kingdom of God. If we're going to live the Christian life, if we are truly going to be the kind of Christian that the Bible talks about, we will face tribulation. It may not be the kind of persecution that we read about in the book of Acts, the kind of persecution that Jesus and the apostles faced, but we will face tribulation. We're going to have some bumps and we're going to have some bruises along the way. If you follow God's holy highway, and I take no joy in talking about this or mentioning this, you, by the time you get to the end of the trip, you're going to have some wounds and you're going to have some scars. That's just the way that it is. Don't expect, as you get to the end of the Christian journey, to look all nice and shiny. It's not going to work that way as a child of God. Those who truly live the Christian life are going to somehow get banged up one way or another. A person says, I really don't like the thought of being banged up. Well, I don't either. I'm sure Jesus didn't like that thought. I'm pretty sure the apostles didn't like that thought. But if you're going to sign on to be a Christian, that is part of the deal. The Bible warns about that, and it should not be much of a surprise. In Luke 13, Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, Jesus, in talking about heaven and the kind of life that we need to live, he said, you need to strive. That's an important word. He said, you need to strive to enter in by the narrow door. Going back some years, Teresa and I were about 19 years old. One weekend, we were with a church group. And that church group, we were in Montana at the time, decided that they were going to go to the mountains one weekend. We went on that trip. An enjoyable trip. At that time, we had an older vehicle. An older vehicle that probably was not the best vehicle for mountainous activities. I can remember, it was probably on a Saturday. I think we went up on Friday. We got some people together, put them in a truck. And there was a place, either on top of this mountain or just over the mountain, that everybody was going to go. And I really wanted to go. I said, we'll drive. We'll be part of the group that's going to go. So we started to go up that mountain. And the further we got up the mountain, the shakier the truck got. Shakier and shakier and shakier. And finally, I had to make a decision. I'm not sure that our vehicle is going to make it, and we might have major vehicle trouble, and we are stuck here on a mountain several hours from home. Rather than force the truck, on that occasion, I made the decision to turn back. It was not a popular decision. I didn't want to make that decision. And the people who were with me were certainly not happy. Over the years, many times, I have wondered if that was the right call. How much further did we need to go to at least get to the top of the mountain? Would the vehicle have really been damaged? Would it have been just a little bit of a stretch as far as pushing it, or would we have really done some damage and maybe been left there on the side? I decided to quit. And my decision to quit caused some others to be affected. You may recall that Jesus once gave a teaching about some seed. And in that teaching, Mark 4, Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 8, he says that that seed was designed to represent people. Most of the seed in Jesus' teaching, if we can use the graphic that we're looking at, it didn't make it up the hill. Some started and really didn't get anywhere at all, and that was it for them. Others go up the hill a little bit more. Something happens, and that knocks them off. Others really get far up the incline, but even they didn't make it. Out of the four types of seed or soil, might say soil instead of seed, but only one is able to make it to the summit. Don't be someone who, when it comes to the Christian life, starts up the hill and fails to make it. Don't begin the journey and quit. Don't go half up. Don't go 99% of the way. That's not good enough. When you get on that way of holiness, you decide, you make the decision that you're going to see it through. Whatever the bumps, whatever the bruises, whatever the road hazards, you're going to see it all the way through. Because you know what is on the other side. Not all my signs, as I was looking for this lesson, are apparently based in the U.S. And I suspect that this one may be from a foreign country. You may have seen this sign somewhere in America. I can't, as I think about the places where we've gone, the roads that we've driven, ever remember seeing this sign. But I'd like to suggest that this sign is also one that's important for the Holy Highway. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul talked about the aged men. And then in the next verse, Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, he talked about the aged, the old women. Paul himself, in the book of Philemon, Philemon verse 9, he said, "Now, I've reached a time where I'm also aged." Some congregations, as we look at churches in the United States and elsewhere, they have their fair share of older members. Sometimes you look at a congregation, especially if they are predominantly a congregation with older members, you might think they're dying. No young kids there. And it's not going to be very long before they close up the doors. There are some places, for whatever reason, that as they look at older members, they do not see those older members in a very positive way. The older members are looked upon with little favor. But may I suggest that there is, when we think about older saints, senior saints, if we can use that terminology, there is at least one good thing when it comes to saints who have been around for a while. Those typically are Christians who have been on the holy highway, Isaiah 35 and verse 8, for many, many years. They've been bruised. They've been battered. Maybe shaken to the core. Bent over. Maybe they can't see very well. Maybe they can't hear very well. Maybe they can't move very quickly. And yet, as we see with the graphic, they still continue. They show up. They come. Sometimes in spite of great health issues. Their driving skills may have deteriorated. When it's time to head out in the parking lot, you want to make sure that you steer clear of them. But you know, they decide that we have chosen the path in life, and that's God's manual, and we're going to stick with the book. Jokes are made about senior citizens. A lot of jokes are made about older people. But you know, we should never joke about those who are aged members on God's holy highway. Thank God for older saints who have gone before you. Be appreciative of those who have continued to walk the path of righteousness, the holy highway, and do your best to encourage them. Our next slide, we turn to something a little different, and here's one that we can appreciate. Share the road. In our community, we can certainly appreciate this because as you look at where we live throughout the county, we have people who still travel with horse and buggies. Bicycles are not uncommon. And you also sometimes see people on motorbikes. Teresa and I saw one fellow the other day, and we both thought the same thing. He was about three times bigger than a bike, and it was, wow, is he going to make it to the next intersection? But when it comes to the holy highway, We need to share the road. And by that I mean, as you look at the scriptures, you find that there were Christians in the first century who had some different ideas about things. For example, there were some Christians who thought that it was okay to eat meat. And there were some other Christians, because of their background, they thought, no, 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 we can't eat meat. Some wanted to observe certain days, and others did not want to observe certain days. In our day and time, we're also going to find occasions where Christians have different judgments about some things. Look at it from the political realm. There are some people who, when a certain president is in power, they think that he or she is the best possible president. And you're going to have other Christians who think that that president, he or she, is the worst of all time. We live in a period where people oftentimes talk about tolerance, but really there's little broad-mindedness. In the church, we are on a shared highway. God has set the rules. We need to follow those rules. But there are also some matters which involve opinion and judgment. So Paul, as he writes to the Christians in Rome, he says in Romans 14, verse 5, one man esteems one day this way. He holds this day up. He says in Romans 14, 5, another esteems or looks at every day alike. He said, let each man be fully assured in his own mind. Be careful with fellow saints. How we treat fellow Christians is how we treat Christ. Now, signs like this may not be too common in our culture. We may see something similar. And this sign goes along with the previous one. Before we run over or stampede the opinions, the judgments of others, stop and think. Give some thought. Give some consideration to the views of others. You may recall what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 19. He said, let every man, swift to hear, slow to speak. That's good advice. Stop and honk. Rather than pull right out and rush into traffic and perhaps cause an accident, be careful as we deal with other individuals. Be careful. Move slowly. If we are mindful of others, sometimes we're going to yield to others. Our opinion may be right the highest percentage of time. We may feel, for whatever reason, that our opinion is right every single time. But even if we are right, even if we're wrong and we feel that our opinion is right, it is often best to yield to others. You've probably been in a road situation where you have multiple people coming up to a stop sign and you think it's my turn to go. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true. But there is another person who has pulled up to another stop sign at about that same time, and that other person has decided, for whatever reason, rightly or wrongly, I'm going to go. Well, you can force the issue. You can decide it is my turn, I'm going to go, and I'm going to have a collision with you. Well, then you can fight it out with the police and maybe the court. Wiser, better, smarter to yield. And as we deal with fellow Christians, sometimes that is the best choice as well. Avoid the defensive maneuvering. Learn the value of yielding on the holy highway. Here's our next to the last sign. If God has a holy highway, and Isaiah said that was coming, Isaiah 35 and verse 8, if that holy highway exists, then we can infer from that that there must also be a wrong way. And that's true. The Bible says that there are a lot of wrong ways. That wide way is the wrong way. And ultimately, as we think about the ways that we can go in life, either the correct way or one of the wrong ways, we ultimately choose which path and which guidebook we're going to follow. All the signs are available. God's given them to us. He's pointed us in the right direction in way after way. And if we take those signs, if we use those signs, if we follow those signs, sometimes it's going to be an uphill climb. And sometimes as we think about that uphill climb, we think, that is a hard climb. It is difficult to follow that way. Isn't that what Jesus said? Strive. Strive to enter the narrow way. Luke 13 and verse 24. We decide how and where we're going to drive, spiritually speaking. There's a road to heaven. Not a literal road. That's not what Isaiah was thinking about in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. But he recognized that a time was going to come where there would be a path. Jesus seems to pick up on that in John 14 and verse 6. I am the way. Yeah, there's that holy highway. And everything is there to follow the right road throughout all our life. The question is, are we on the road? There are certain steps to get on roads. Maybe we have to take a certain ramp. Maybe we have to do some other things to get on a certain road. And that's also true for the holy highway. Without believing in Christ, we'll never be a part of that road. Without making that U-turn, repentance, we can't be on the holy highway. Unless we confess Christ, sort of like a toll booth, you're not going to get through. And then that final step, baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And once we take those steps, we are on the holy highway. We may not know a lot of the things that are going to happen. There may be several items ahead that we simply can't foresee, but we're on the road. And then it's up to us to decide if we're going to stay on that road or we're going to make some kind of U-turn. Where are we at? God's given us the signs, the holy highway. Are we on the road? And are we doing our best to faithfully follow that road every single day? If the answer is no, and tonight we can help you change that, will you let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the selected song?